Can I start?
I'll just make a short introduction and pass the floor to you, Vera. So, dear colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, please allow me on behalf of the Czech presidency and particularly Chamber of Deputies to welcome you at today's informal online meeting with Vice President of the European Commission for Values and Transparency, Věra Jourová. It is the second online meeting organized by the Czech presidency, and today we will focus on two particular issues, Rule of Law Report and Media Freedom Act. My name is Jaroslav Bžoch. I'm a Vice Chair of the European Affairs Committee and also Vice Chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Czech Chamber of Deputies, and I'll be your host for today. First, let me inform you that we have interpretation from English to French for this meeting. Therefore, there are three channels available: French, English, and the floor itself. Everybody can choose the channel he prefers to listen. If you click down on the left on the globe, then you can choose French or English as you prefer. And as usual, I'm also kindly asking all participants to have their microphones muted during the meeting. Only when you're asking or taking the floor, please switch it on. Also, before I give the floor to Madam Vice President, I would like to ask my colleague from the Senate, David Smoljak, to welcome you also on behalf of the Senate. Please, Mr. Smoljak, the floor is yours.
Thank you for the floor, Jarda. And good morning for everybody, Madam Vice President.
Good morning.
Dear colleagues, allow me to welcome you and to appreciate the choice of topics for our debate today. The protection of democratic institutions and democratic values is one of the priorities of the Czech presidency, and it is clear that the freedom, pluralism and independence of the media from political power is absolutely crucial in this. Anyway, next week the Chamber of Deputies will pass the bill in which I was involved and which should change the system of electing media councils and thus strengthen the independence of the public media from the will of the current political majority. The bill is not ideal, but it strengthened the role of the Senate in its role check and balances in this system. And I think it's this very important in the context of the rule of law report, for instance, which is also part of our debate. Well, I thank you for choosing this these topics, and I hope we will be success our debate. Thank you much.
Thank you very much, David. And now it's my pleasure to give the floor to Madam Vice President and the person I am privileged to call my friend, Věra. The floor is yours for 20 minutes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jardo. Indeed, yes, we are friends because not only because we were sitting in the same parliament for how many months? 8 months before I went to the Commission. So we have some good piece of history to, in the past. So, honorable members of parliament, honorable chairs, thank you very much for inviting me to your informal exchange on topics of my portfolio. As it is informal, I will also dare to not to use the paper which I have prepared, and I will try to explain with my own words what I important to share with you when it comes to the rule of law reports and Media Freedom Act. Some call this Media Freedom Act with the horrible abbreviation MFA. I hate it because once you give an acronym to something, you kill the thing. Yeah, so I will not use that. First, for the rule of law report, where the national parliaments play a really crucial role, the rule of law report, in fact, my idea in 2017 already, and it was a response on the criticism we had, especially from Warsaw and Budapest, that we are only looking at them and that we are assessing the quality and robustness of rule of law system in Poland and Hungary and not looking at other member states. And I had to admit that we need to have the good mapping of the situation in all states and that we need to have the rule of law report as a kind of preventive tool which serves to discuss things early on when we see some trend which might result in some serious breach of the rule of law system in the member state. It enables us to start the discussion early on. And I have to say, already on the basis of the first three rule of law reports, I had a very very important debates in Slovakia, in recently in Greece, in Spain, several other countries where we saw some trend which was worth discussing. I have to say that on the basis of these discussions, we achieved good agreement that especially the judiciary reform in the respective country will be formulated or designed in the way which is compliant with the European standards. In these debates with the national parliaments, on the basis of their national reports, I am always very much aware that I am entering into the field of constitutional checks and balances, which is a very sensitive thing to do, which is the sovereign state domain, but where also the EU has something to say because we have in Article 2 of the treaty the rule of law principle as the basic founding principle of the EU. That's why I am glad that we have this rule of law report as a good basis based on quality collection of data for the discussion with the ministers, with the parliaments, also with the civil society and so on. So when we started to work on this rule of law report, I was very, I would even say cruel with the experts of the Commission that we have to deliver the report on the basis of very well done methodology, with transparent procedures and with as strong involvement of the national actors as possible. That's why when we issued the rule of law report in July, we start to collect the data in February. So it will start again for the next year rule of law report. We will start collection in February. The key partner for us in each country is the Ministry of Justice and its experts. But we also cover other things than judiciary and prosecution system. We cover the media situation. And here our main channel of information is the report delivered by the Florence University in cooperation with all member states' universities. And the report is called Media Pluralism Monitor. And this is the channel of the data which we use for the media chapter. Then we have the chapter on anti-corruption. And I have to say that in the previous commission, we didn't pay too much attention to corruption as a special issue, a problem in the EU. And so we are now trying to correct it and to cover that in the rule of law report. This year, for the first time, we issued recommendations for each member state. And again, this is not the last step before infringement. This is these are the matters which we find important to discuss with the member states and where we would like to see some progress. We have an agreement in the Commission that if we don't see the progress in the recommendations next year, the recommendation will be repeated in the next year report with the comment. Maybe a little bit to explain to you how I see the checks and balances on European level, because as I said before, the rule of law matters are always highly sensitive. Some say that when we design some recommendations or even sanctions in some cases, that we are overstepping our competences. But I believe that we stick with the competences given to us by the Lisbon Treaty. And when it comes to the rule of law as a principle, the Commission has two preventive tools in hand. Rule of law report is one of them. The second is the country-specific recommendations, which are more about economy, but there is also the chapter how non-functioning judiciary system and prosecution is influencing economy. So these are preventive tools where the Commission has only recommending power. Then we have two tools where the member states have to decide, and this is the Article 7, and this is the conditionality of budget and EU budget money which is being distributed to the member states, which has to be done under the condition of functioning of the rule of law. Here, in these two things, the member states have the power to decide, and then there is the power for the European Court of Justice to decide to have the last word on the infringement procedures. So, you know, this is a balanced field. The distribution of competences, in my view, is fair. One of the new topics we are focusing on are the media and their situation. We already issued the recommendation to the member states to guarantee better security of journalists. This was the recommendation we issued last year in September. I want to recall that we have already several killed journalists in our member states. We have several hundreds. In 2020, we had 900 injured, some heavily injured journalists in 22 member states. We have increase of hate speech online against the journalists. So in other words, to do the job of the journalist now is as risky as to do the job of a politician. I have to say I see a lot of parallels here. And we believe that the journalists should be given some more attention from the ministries of Home Affairs, which are responsible for guaranteeing the security of their citizens. Then we have the directive on anti-SLAPP against the abusive litigations, and then the Media Freedom Act, which we adopted recently, which is starting its legislative process. It won't be easy because there is quite good support in the European Parliament for that, because I detected already the willingness to support that, maybe with some changes from key persons in the parliament. But as for the member states, well, the member states where they have very robust and well-functioning system of safeguards for the media, they say this European Media Freedom Act will decrease the level of protection of media, typically Germany. Then there are member states which might give me the message in the future when we start discussing that it is none of our business, that it's not for Europe to legislate on that. And then there will be, I think, majority of member states which will say it might be practical to have a pan-European law which will guarantee a better environment for media, because we are not regulating media themselves. We are regulating the space for media. So maybe the majority of the member states will be supportive, but there might be some changes in the process. What we want is to protect media against political influence, against interference from the side of politics into the editorial content. We are introducing very strict measure against using spyware against the journalists. We are introducing stronger protection for journalists to protect their information sources. We increase the transparency of ownership of media and of public advertising, because it is the field where we see a lot of hidden channels of financing. I believe more transparency will be good to introduce, and then we introduce the rule that the recognized professional media and their content, their news, should be protected against the influence of the digital platforms. So in case digital platform will want to remove some content produced by the professional media, such media should get ex ante alert from the platform that they want to remove the content, and they should have the chance to defend their content. By the way, I was censored the other day myself by Facebook. My article was taken down for some reasons, for the reason that it was announced as a spam by somebody, and artificial intelligence reacted by removing that. And it was not the only case. It also happened in other known case in Czechia. Maybe it's also your experience somewhere. So we will have to discuss further with the platforms that this is not the way to treat the legal content. Yeah, but this is the footnote comment. In the Media Freedom Act, we require special treatment for the professional media from the side of the platforms. Then we want to create the European Media Board, which should have the power to issue non-legally binding opinions. And here comes my last comment regarding the Media Freedom Act. Recently, the Congress had to decide whether to sanction Russia Today and Sputnik. You remember that I think it was the second or third sanctions package. And it was the decision of the Commission based on good data, good knowledge of the parameters of Russia Today and Sputnik, that they are not media anymore, but they are just the Putin's war propaganda machines. I had a lot of evidence about that. So we proposed to sanction these two, and later we proposed to put on the sanction list additional three TV channels. And the Commission had to do it based on its own decision. The Media Freedom Act says for such decisions, there should be the opinion of the Media Board, where there will be representatives of all member states, one per state. So that's why I believe that in the future, we will be better equipped for the situations of such a foreign interference through the media scene. I think I will stop here. I am very much looking forward to your questions and comments, because always for me, the discussion with the members of the national parliaments, this is a big source of inspiration and ideas, which then I work with. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vera, for your introductory remarks. Now we're going to move for the discussion. So far, we have registered 5 participants who request for the floor at the moment. And I'm kindly ask you to keep your intervention a maximum 3 to 4 minutes, that we have enough time to go back to Madam Vice President for her replies. I will take those 5 participants in a row, and then we come back to Madam Vice President. So, and first, I'm asking to take the floor, Jean-François Rapin, French Senate. You have the floor.
Bonjour, Madame la Vice-Présidente, mes chers collègues.
Mrs. Vice-President, dear colleagues, hello.
Vous entendez bien, signe de tête,
c'est vous. I hope you can hear me. Just make a sign if you can hear me.
La Commission européenne a
fait
le souci de la France de préserver la liberté de la presse et
le pluralisme
des médias.
Car si la liberté de la presse n'est pas assurée, c'est la démocratie européenne. C'est en danger. Les
journalistes font en effet régulièrement l'objet de menaces, de procédures judiciaires abusives.
Actually, taking things against them. And
we must le 27 avril dernier, une proposition de directive qui prévoit des garanties procédurales renforcées pour les soutenir, ainsi que toutes les personnes attaquées devant les tribunaux pour leur participation au débat public. Le Sénat français est d'accord avec vous sur l'objectif poursuivi par ce texte. Il a, en revanche, déploré la définition disproportionnée des affaires transfrontières qui relèveraient de ce texte dans son avis motivé le 30 juin dernier. Gageons que le législateur européen pourra préciser le texte. J'ai une question double à ce sujet. Pourquoi ne pas avoir réservé ce dispositif aux journalistes qui sont, de loin, les principales victimes des procédures judiciaires abusives? Et quelle est l'articulation de ce texte avec les dispositifs existants qui protègent les lanceurs d'alerte? La Commission européenne a également présenté une proposition de législation européenne sur la liberté des médias qui veut assurer l'indépendance éditoriale des médias par des financements dédiés, des mesures sur l'attribution de la publicité, des règles sur la transparence de la propriété des organes de presse et un contrôle des concentrations. Elle instituerait pour cela un comité de régulation européen qui, je cite vos documents, pourrait également jouer un rôle spécifique dans la lutte contre la désinformation. La France, avec le Royaume-Uni, est à l'origine de la liberté de la presse. La régulation des médias y fonctionne bien et, en cas de difficulté, donne lieu à un débat démocratique devant le Sénat et l'Assemblée nationale. Or, votre projet considère que les mesures nationales peuvent être, je cite, « injustifiées, disproportionnées et discriminatoires ». De plus, ce texte se veut protecteur des libertés, mais n'est composé que de nouveaux contrôles et de complexités supplémentaires pour les organes de presse. Lors de la phase de consultation, les éditeurs de presse ont d'ailleurs souligné ces difficultés. J'aurais donc 2 questions un peu provocatrices, mais qui traduisent notre inquiétude. Quelle est en effet la légitimité de l'Union européenne pour se substituer aux États membres dans la régulation des médias ? Le nouveau comité de régulation européen prévu par le texte, qui serait un comité administratif européen non contrôlé par nos parlements, ne risque-t-il pas de brider la liberté de la presse au nom même de cette liberté? Je vous remercie.
Thank you very much. And now I ask Luis Coppola Santos from Portugal, the Assembly of the Republic, to take the floor.
Good morning. Dear colleagues, I would like to start by congratulating the Czech presidency on its presidency and especially on its parliamentary dimension. I welcome this initiative, which continues the regular dialogue COSAC has been maintaining with the Commission. Today's subject is of great importance and is always highly relevant. As the third report confirms, the rule of law in our Union still has many serious imperfections that must be corrected. I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate the Commissioner Vera Jourova and the Commission on the high quality of this report in line with the 2 previous ones. Regarding the chapter on Portugal, I consider the assessment to be impartial and rigorous, and I am sure that the same rigor was applied to the other 26 assessments. As far as we are concerned, the Portuguese authorities would not fail to take its recommendations into consideration, and Parliament will be watching closely. I hope that the same happens with the other member states, particularly those where there are greater disparities between the existing reality and the reality that should exist. The full rule of law as the supreme value of the Union must be given concrete expression throughout its territory and not merely proclamated. Concerning the proposal for a regulation on media services in the internal market, I agree with the majority of its content, and I believe that the preference expressed for option 2, sub option A, is the most appropriate. Without free, impartial, and independent communication and common rules in the European area, we will never have true rule of law in the Union. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your intervention. I must say that the sound was really, really bad. So hopefully someone was able to make their notes.
Not me. I am not able to respond to that. Sorry.
So, Mr. Capola Santos, if you had any question, could you please write it down to the chat that Madam Vice President can reply to those questions? Because we had really bad sound. I can understand just a few of it. So if you are able to put your notes or questions to the chat, group chat, then Madam Vice President would be able to reply. Thank you very much. And now I give the floor to Hainalka Juhász from Hungarian National Assembly. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, dear Madam Vice President, dear colleagues. Thank you for the floor. In less than 2 weeks' time, we will have the opportunity to share our views also in person in the wonderful city of Prague. I assure that Hungary is fully committed to the respect for the rule of law, engaged a constructive dialogue to address all concerns of the Commission. I wish to recall that 17 measures requested by the European Commission have all been adopted by the government and the Hungarian National Assembly. I do hope that the recent steps taken by Hungary can lead to a final agreement in order to provide the necessary funds for digital and green transition, education and infrastructure project. Dear colleagues, regarding the so-called Media Freedom Act, the basic goals of the initiative can be welcomed, but Protocol number 29 of the treaties provides that the funding of public service broadcasting belongs to the core competence of member states. Moreover, in 2009, the Commission itself, in its communication on the application of state aid rules to public service broadcasting, confirmed that choosing the proper mechanism to ensure effective supervision of the fulfillment of the public service obligations is within the competence of the member states. Additionally, the European Parliament itself, in its resolution of 2010, underlined the defining the public service remit and the funding of the public service broadcasters lies within the exclusive competence of the member states. From the above follows that the proposed act should provide merely general safeguarding rules and principles rather in the form of a directive or a recommendation instead of a regulation. In our approach, reasonable and constructive dialogue can be conducted on the rule of law, and at the same time when we are facing unprecedented challenges, dialogue is indispensable. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now I give the floor to Lenart Zsavbi from Slovenian National Assembly. I don't know if anyone else have the same issue, but I can't hear you.
Ah, it's now okay. Yeah, okay. Dear Madam Vice President, it's an honor to have the opportunity to speak with you on the development and incorporation of the European Media Freedom Act. I'm happy to inform you that the position of the Slovenian government on the proposed European Media Freedom Act is currently in the phase of interdepartmental coordination. I can assure you that I am positive that the Commission will find the position of Slovenia regarding this important legal document most satisfactory. Given your role within the European Commission, you were one of the key stakeholders that contributed to the third annual report on the rule of law in the EU, in which the Commission recommends to Slovenia the strengthening of rules and mechanisms to strengthen the independent management and editorial independence of the public media while taking into account the European standards regarding the public media. As a member of Svoboda political party, I am happy to inform you that since the change of government in Slovenia, the funding of Slovenian press agency has been re-established and the new act on Slovenian radio and television has been passed, with which the government wants to depoliticize the institution. Management and control of the institution would be left to the Council of Slovenian Radio and Television, which would have 17 members instead of the current Program and Supervisory Council, which members are politically appointed. According to the new law, the National Assembly will not appoint any members to this body anymore. The biggest opposition party challenged the passing of this new act on radio and television with a referendum that will be held on 27th of November. We are confident that the popular support for a national media service free of political interference will assure the government enough support to prevail in this referendum. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now we go to Gabriela Cretu from Romanian Senate. You have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chair, Vice President, dear Vera Jourova, dear colleagues. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate Czech colleagues for having such a good idea, I thought, a bit at the beginning of organizing these informal meetings with European Commission members and national parliaments representatives. Unfortunately, when remembering what a struggle was in COSAC meetings for having 1 or 2 minutes to speak with European Commission, I'm afraid that now this initiative is not very successful, because last time with Vice President Margrethe Vestager, we've been 8 or 9, and now more or less the same number. I don't understand. I hope it is not a political reaction when it comes of our dialogue. You know, I'm a long-term member working in European affairs, and I have avoided generally speaking about CBM long before the present current situation. Why? Not only because Romania and Bulgaria faced a very difficult situation during the latest years. Once, many of my colleagues spoke about moving horizons and the impossibility of achieving the goals, but it's not for this reason in my case. I am a very pro-European person fighting for European Federation, if you want. Or many times the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The objectives are very good. We agree and we have agreed with them. The manner of dealing to achieve the objectives were not the best, because they succeeded in fueling Euroscepticism. We have entered the European Union as the most pro-European and the most optimist European members. And what we noticed, it is an increase in Euroscepticism, and CVM played an important role in fueling frustration and creating a kind of imbalance between political, between authorities of the state. So I don't speak anymore about CVM. Instead, I would say something about European Media Freedom Act. At the first, it is needed, absolutely needed. But at the first sight, when reading the title, somebody could imagine that its motto is Free Julian Assange, and it is not at all. Because how we define independence, it is essential. Or the idea this document is based on is that the main danger of independence in media, it is are the politician, political interference. We are a kind of old-fashioned Democrats thinking that the government would interfere in the freedom of media. But legal basis is good. It is 114, ensuring internal market functioning. But we admit, assume that actually it is about business sector, and the main issue is concentration of capital. I could give you an example. In Romania, the main media company, MediaPro, is based in Bermudas and has 95% United States capital. In its ownership, there are at least 37 media outlets, TV channel, news agencies, communication platforms, printed outlets, newspaper, I mean, etc., etc. So my main problem, it is not actually if the government could intervene in editorial issues. It is who actually set up the editorial policy in my country. I could give you an example. I criticized the second pillar of our pension system because media lives from advertising. They have many times some how to say lowercase conditionalities coming from those paying advertising, and the second day almost every channel in television started in attacking the parliament and myself and everybody criticizing an economy field. So we have still to think if this Freedom Act, I stress again, we do believe that is needed, has the good content at this moment, or we have to change a bit how to say the points from independence against policymakers to independence and pluralism concerning the control by capital. So we could have a long discussion on this field, but I am not very happy with the current proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your intervention. And now we go to the last speaker for the time, Matilda Enkrans from Sweden. You have the floor.
Thank you very much. I would just like to introduce myself. It's my first time I've been invited to this meeting, so thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to meet the commissioner when you visit Sweden. I'm the new vice president of in the Committee on EU Affairs in Sweden since we have had elections. Prior to this, I was the Minister for International Development Cooperation and also the Minister for Higher Education and Research. But now I'm happy to serve in the Parliament as Vice President in the Committee on EU Affairs and also my party's spokesperson on these issues. I'm happy to be here, looking forward to working with you. The President of the Committee on EU Affairs is from the party. We have a coalition government in Sweden, and he is from the same party as the new prime minister. But he has a little bit trouble to get into the meeting due to some hiccups with his computer. But on general, I just want to say that you know that Sweden, we've been sort of a true defenders of the rule of law, and we also had pushed for more sort of budget restrictions towards member states who not obliged to what we have already agreed on when it comes to the European Union and rule of law. So we are true defenders of the rule of law, and I hope the new government will keep up that push. When it comes to media, of course, we all know that free and independent media is a cornerstone in a democracy. And being new in this area, maybe you have already answered my question, but I would like to put it on the table anyhow, because of course, we need to stand up for free and independent media. It's, as I said, it's a cornerstone in every democracy. And we know sort of the pushbacks for democracy throughout the world and the attacks on media from sort of alt-right movements and populist movements. So, of course, we have to stand up for a free and independent media. But I'm just thinking, can't we use the tools we already have in our toolbox within our cooperation in EU to stand up for a free and independent media? So that's what. But maybe you've already answered us. I'm not sure, but I just want to put that question on the table. But mostly, I'm happy to be here and nice to meet you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Also pleasure to having you here. And now I give the floor to my colleague from the Senate, David Smoljak. David, you have the floor.
Thank you. What I consider to be crucial in our debate on the media and information space, these are three things. First, institutional and financial independence of the public media. Second, strict separation of media from political power. And the last, transparency of media ownership and transparent and fair award of state advertising. These issues are very important, and I cannot see any conflict with the subsidiarity in it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. Mr. Smoljak was the last speaker who would like to take the floor. I'm giving also a few moments for now. If you have any requests for the floor, make it now. It's not that the case. I'll go back to Madam Vice President and ask Viera to reply all the debate. Thank you. Viera, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you for all your very, very pertinent and important comments and questions. I have one technical comment I did not catch because of the very poor sound at all, the question from Portugal, but also from France through the interpretation. I understood that there were two questions, first on abusive procedures against the journalists. So I will answer according to what I think, how the question was put. But there was a second question when the honorable member of the parliament said that it's a provocative question, but I didn't catch it. And because I love provocative questions, could you please write it to the chat so that I can react? I want to start answering from the end because there was such a positive comment of Mr. Smoljak that he doesn't see the subsidiarity issue. Thank you for that. Still, we have two sets of opinions. And it's also a little bit connected with what Madame member of the Swedish parliament said. I cannot see now, Madame Matilda, whether we cannot do the same job with the existing tools. These are conceptual questions. We see two concepts. Our lawyers say, we have the legal competence to legislate this field under the condition that we stick with the legal basis of the single market, which is Article 114. And when I started to work on this, I was unhappy that we have the media protected under Article 114 as the normal business sector. Maybe you remember that. Madame Legrippe remembers my frustration. I see you nodding. Because I said we require much more from the media than from the producers of socks. With all due respect to the producers of socks, we want from media to be the key actors in protecting democracy and freedom of speech and access of people to information. But we do not give them any better or stronger protection than to any other business sector. So in fact, at the beginning of the work on the media law, I wanted to leave the article single market and push it under Article 2 of the treaty, which is about the fundamental rights and fundamental values. But our lawyers explained to me that I cannot escape from the legal basis based on the single market conditions, but that we can add stronger safeguards to guarantee good environment for the media. So this is our legal reading, that we can do it. We have the competence. We have to stick with the rules for the single market. There is another opinion, which I read way before we proposed this legislation, which was developed by the lawyers working for the German media sector. And I have to say, as a lawyer, I love to read brilliant legal arguments. And you know, two lawyers have three opinions. And it was a good analysis, but the only problem is that I cannot agree with its conclusion which said that we do not have the competence. So we will have to discuss this further, but by proposing the Media Freedom Act, the Commission says clearly, we have the competence, it's our legal opinion, and in case there will be subsidiarity complaints, we will come with responses. I am used to that. I remember from European Public Prosecutor's Office, when I started in the Commission, I had 11 yellow cards on my table. So we had to work with the proposal. Now we do not have any indication of the yellow cards yet, but I am ready to defend it because I am sure we have the competence. So it was partly the answer on the question from Sweden. I am looking forward to the trip to Sweden in 1 week time. And we are short of the tools at this moment. We cannot address the problems which we see in real life now. We cannot address the issue of the license being withdrawn by the authority without justification. We cannot address the issue of very shady or opaque way of using public money for the media. We cannot address the concentrations which we heard from Romania, which are very dangerous, the unhealthy, vast concentrations of the media ownership. So we because what I and I am sure Madam Member of the Parliament from Hungary knows the case. We are criticizing the KESMA arrangement, which in our view is problematic from the media pluralism point of view. And my colleagues who deal with the competition rules say that they cannot address the issue with KESMA, KESMA consortium, because it is too small. It is far below the benchmark which the European competition rules can cover, and because in Hungary the application of competition rules does not exist for the media sector, we are hopeless and helpless in this case. So that's why we came with some competition criterias, and this is also the response to Madam Member of the Parliament from Romania. I can't see your names, that's why I am so formal. but you know who I am responding to. We knew that we have to address this issue of over-concentration, which is in breach with the media pluralism. And at the beginning, I had in mind that we could set some benchmark, some quantitative criteria. And then after I consulted heavily in almost all member states, I saw that we have to introduce some parameters which recognize the context, the national market. Because what I heard in Scandinavian countries, they enable the transactions in the private sector in order to consolidate the market and in order to help the media to survive. While what we see in some other places of Europe, that there are rather assertive or even aggressive transactions which lead to concentration of the media ownership in several pairs of hands. And I was warned in France that it might be the case of some transactions there on French market. This is not only about the issue of for instance, of KESMA in Hungary. So when you look at the media, into the Media Freedom Act, you see that we are introducing several parameters which should enable the national authorities to make an opinion whether this is the concentration which might endanger the media pluralism and plurality of opinions, which we want to see in every country, or whether it is okay from the point of view of the context of the national market. It was the most difficult part of the media law, in my opinion, because we tried to come with the set of objective parameters, which will give the space to assess the transaction, whether it is something which is harmful or might be potentially harmful and which requires the intervention or not. I am a liberal democrat. I don't like to see overshooted state interventions and European interventions into the market. I recognize the need to protect the free market in Europe. That's why we are very carefully offering the parameters for assessing whether the intervention is needed or not. So that's the answer to which should go to Bucharest. I will reserve some time for the CVM now to answer all the questions on the Media Freedom Act. Now I will start I will continue with Hungarian question. So, Madam, I can't see your name. What is your name? I know I am. So, Madam. Sorry. Yes. I have to say at the beginning that I hear the interpretation into French, which is, I don't know why. It's a bit confusing me, but on the Media Freedom Act, indeed, in 2009, can you hear me? In 2009, which is a long time ago, there might have been legal opinion that this does not fall under the EU competence. You spoke about public service media. In the meantime, we achieved some progress through the Amsterdam Protocol, which is setting some basic parameters for the public service media in Europe. So already the Amsterdam Protocol from 2010 or 9 or so is something which enables which opens up the door for the European pan-European standards. And so what we promised to many partners who we discussed with, especially from the public service media, that we will build on this Amsterdam Protocol and that we will be rather general in describing the principles for two things. And again, general, setting rather general standards. One thing for the financing of public service media, which should be sufficient and predictable, also which is also connected with the durability of the certainty of the public service media that they will have the funding. I can tell you, I was asked by many to introduce some concrete measures. Like there should be the financing foreseen for 3 years ahead, or some financial parameters which would characterize what is sufficient funding. And when you read the media law, I didn't go into that because I don't want to be prescriptive. I don't want to micromanage things. That's why there is this article about sufficient and predictable funding. And the second thing, that the procedures for nominations and appointments of the representatives in the media boards, public service media boards, and the management should be objective, non-discriminatory, reflecting the pluralism. I think that we did not breach anything, and we just clarify these two basic parameters for the public public service media. I will come back to Hungary with the 17 conditions which you mentioned. To continue with media, the questions or comments from Slovenia, I very much appreciate that the Slovenian government has improved the funding of the Slovenian press agency. And as for the referendum, which will happen on the 27 October, isn't it today? It is. So we hope that the Slovenian public, the citizens will reach for the good solution, which will stabilize the situation in the media landscape in Slovenia. On what came from France, as I said before, I didn't catch one of the questions. The first question was about the SLAP issue. We did the mapping of the abusive litigations against the journalists across the whole Europe, and we see a big number of these cases, almost in all the member states. When the journalist or human rights defender is being sued in another country, it's very expensive, very demanding. You can imagine it's much worse situation than when he or she is sued in his own country. So where we have the competence, we legislate it. It's the case of those cross-border litigations. And we recommended the member states also to take measures against the abuse of justice against journalists in the national procedural laws. And the situation differs state by state. In some states, it concerns civil procedural law, in some administrative procedural law. I think we don't have any more we have some issues in criminal law, but I will not go into that now. The point is, and the main idea behind this proposal of the directive and of the recommendation is that the judge, when he or she gets the proposal, should first look into the case whether it is accompanied with the sufficient reasons, real reasons, or whether it is the procedure for procedure, whether it is a truly abusive case, just to silence the journalist, just to deprive him of money, of time, and so on. The judge has to do that upon request of the defendant. We believe that this is the step which does not deprive the people of the access to fair process, because even the powerful and rich people have the equal right of access to fair trial and fair process. So this is the main feature of this abusive litigation proposal or the proposal against these litigations. The reaction of states is either they don't see the cases in their realm, so I have to bring more data to them, and I discuss with the ministers of justice about that, or we have a very very strong yes from some member states. There are concerns about the access to justice for all, which we are not breaching. Coming back to Hungary, I am still owing you the answer on why regulation, why not directive, when it comes to the Media Freedom Act. Yes, we were considering both alternatives over the process of working on this. And at the end of the day, we decided to propose the regulation which is directly applicable. I will tell you two reasons. One is the bad experience with the Audiovisual Services Directive, which was due to be fully implemented already in September 2020. Still now, we are missing some notifications. We had to open 5 infringement procedures, so 5 member states are already facing the case in the court, European court. And the implementation of this directive is extremely slow and extremely problematic. For the Media Freedom Act, we need to see quicker result because it is very much connected with the Digital Services Act and Code of Practice Against Disinformation, which will come, the Digital Services Act will come into force partly already next year. And we would like to see the Media Freedom Act to be in force also as soon as possible, because there are interconnected things. I told you about the protection of the recognized media in the Media Freedom Act. So we are in a hurry, and we would like to see the implementation as soon as possible. There was something more now on CVM coming to Romania back. I think Romania is on a good track. The new justice laws seem to, we are now analyzing them, and I will only tell you the possible process in case we will assess the recent laws as satisfactory, fulfilling the recommendations of the CVM, then we might issue positive reports still this year. And as you know, the Dutch or the Netherlands is conditioning the accession to Schengen for Romania by positive report on CVM, which we never admitted. There is no official link, but when the Dutch want to see the positive CVM report as a condition for voting for Schengen, we will try to help at least with the timing. So I cannot guarantee what will be in the report, but I can guarantee that some report will come, and I am quite optimistic because honestly speaking, the CVM report is lasting since the accession of Romania and Bulgaria to the EU. It's 15 years, more maybe. And we have now the rule of law report where we issue the recommendations. So we can continue through the rule of law report. Last comment on coming back to Budapest. Yes, we are following closely what Hungary is doing, the 17 measures which has been set for the conditionality of budget. I don't want to mix it up with the recovery funding. There are some benchmarks now to be achieved in judiciary sphere on that recovery funding side. So Hungary is working on the commitments, and I cannot predict the result, but I can only say that I appreciate the efforts which Hungary is now showing and doing. So Jardo, it was too long, I guess.
No, it was not. We still have some time, and in the chat there is a question of our French colleague that maybe the one you didn't hear before. So if you could also reply on that, then
yes. Recall of the questions of Mr. François Rapin. What is the legitimacy of the EU to regulate the media? Does the new European Board for Media Services, which will not be scrutinized by national parliaments, present the risk of curtailing press freedom? Yeah, thank you for this question. It's the frequent question I receive. I have to repeat, we are not regulating the media themselves, with one exception. I will come to that. To be fair and complete, we are mainly regulating the space for the media, which also we heard from Bucharest that yes, indeed, we also from Mr. Smoljak, that indeed we want to create some better protection against the political pressures and political acts, and that we want to protect the media against the excessive action from the side of the digital platforms, from the side of the business, which also wants to interfere into the editorial decisions. This is all about the surrounding space and conditions for the media. With one exception, there is the article that the media should take measures to be recognized as professional media, which deserve the stronger protection. And this is about transparency of ownership. This is about, I think, ethics codex and these sort of things. And we could not help it. We had to put this article into the law because we want to make clear that the Media Freedom Act will protect the media which are truly professional and which are doing the job which democratic system needs without saying a word about the content. You will not find anything there about the content. This is about the conditions for the work of media. The media board will have the power to issue the opinions and cooperate on cross-border cases when it comes to some problematic actions against the media. And the legitimacy of the EU to regulate, I explained that according to our legal opinion, we have the competence to do that under the conditions of the European single market. As for the implementation structure, the media board and the role of the Commission, I believe we will have big discussions with the member states, because this is the most questionable part from our partners, not from the Commission side, but from our partners. One comment, why the Commission is there, we didn't want to introduce some extra body which should serve as a secretariat to the European Media Board. And so to give it to the Commission it's so simple, was the cheapest solution. So, but we can discuss this further. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Viera. We have now still a few minutes for some more interventions and remarks. So I see Madame Cretu that she would like to take the floor. So just please be as brief as possible that we can have other discussion before we close the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the floor and for your answers, Vice President. I do agree with you concerning both that European Commission has ever supported us for not linking CVM and Schengen area accession. We thank you for this, and I do agree with you that it's very much difficult to regulate on the media field, because look, competition and antitrust policies are exclusive European
Competence. Yes.
But we cannot apply actually directly this competition rules because it's not about money invested. It's about controlling the media space audience. I understand very well that we want to defend. I am a great defender of public services, media services, but they lost. In my country, for example, they lost the battle concerning television. They have 10th or 11th place. Actually, private media controls the media services because of having a high audience. And I understand you, that is quite very, very difficult to make different opinion to reach public because we have to think finally to our citizens. They have this opportunity to listen to different opinions, or there is a kind of mainstream media providing them with only one type of opinions. For this reason, we have to link as well, it's my last idea, with empowerment of citizens to be able to choose to understand reality and not to be to have only opinions shaped by media. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have some experience with Romanian media. I have to say, but I will not keep you long about my stories.
Thank you very much. This is the time if you would like to do any final remarks, if you respond to everything as I think you did already, but if you want to do some final remarks, now is the time.
Yeah, maybe to share with you how I feel about legislating this field of media. I am aware that I myself belong to politics. And when we are designing the law which should protect the media against, I will say it in a cynical way, against politicians, it's a bit schizophrenic situation. But I do believe that when and the data suggest that the trend is very even dangerous because when we look at the level of politicization and interference and the insecurity of journalists and the decreased editorial freedom, I think that we had a lot of reasons to start working on some proposal which could stop the trend. There are two things which I also had in mind. We have data which show that the trust in media is going down and the impact of disinformation is going up. This is not a coincidence. This is a very dangerous trend which we want to stop. And I am working also on many initiatives against disinformation. We do not want at any price, almost any price, introduce any kind of censorship. This is not the way to censor the content. That's why we need to strengthen those who can deliver the facts. This is the job for media. So the Media Freedom Act also has much to do with our effort to decrease the impact of disinformation. Last comment. Where I see we are failing is in finding the solution to help media economically or financially. Mm-hmm. Because in the Media Freedom Act, you cannot find that. You can find it partly in the copyright directive, which pushes the platforms to pay the journalists for their work. But it's not the magical solution. In the Media Freedom Act, we tried to find some solution, but we still have to work on that. I am of the opinion that we should not invent the possibility, even based on law, that there should be some public subsidizing of media. I believe that we should really look into the source of the financial distress. And the source is, and the reason is, that the money of advertisers moved from the traditional media to big digital systems. Google is receiving 70% of all advertisers' money. Yeah, 70%. And it's almost the same figure for all the member states. So I believe that this is the failure of the market. This is the biggest issue we are facing, and that the money should come back. Because if we ask the taxpayers to subsidize through the national budgets or European budget the media, the taxpayers will pay for the second time, because they already paid with their private data to the digital sphere. When you look at the macro system, you must see that there is no other way than to correct the system by inventing the way how to tax, impose the taxes on the digital business. And part of these taxes could be used for correcting of this market failure, but we need to work more on that. In my view, the money from the digital tax should go to the media and to digital and media education, because it's for me, this is the similar thing with the trucks. The trucks using the highways, they have to pay higher toll, and the money is then used for repairs of the highways. Here, I guess we should think about some repairs in the real world and to correct things which have been damaged. And I believe that media literacy and digital literacy is underestimated and underfinanced. So sorry to go to maybe a little bit different story, but I just wanted to honestly admit and openly admit that we did not find the solution for the economic pressure on media. It's not a very positive end from my side, but thank you very much for your attention and for your comments and questions. It's always an important moment for me to have such an exchange with the national parliaments.
Thank you very much, Vera. As we are running out of time, I would like to ask my colleague David Smoljak from the Senate to make a short conclusion. Please, David.
Thank you. Just few short remarks. In my opinion, the demands of transparency, independence, and pluralism of media are not in the conflict with the subsidiarity, because these are the key values of democratic system. Finally, let me add a light remark. Thomas Jefferson, the US president and lead author of the US Declaration of Independence, once wrote, "If I had to decide whether we should have a government without newspaper or a newspaper without a government, I would not hesitate for a moment to prefer the latter option." Thomas Jefferson certainly didn't mean that journalists should be in government. No doubt he meant that while without government society can function, without critical opposition of the media, power is bound to degenerate. So I think that this statement, which is more than 200 years old, is still valid. Thank you much.
Thank you.
So thank you very much, Vera, Madam Vice President. Thank you very much for having the time, spending the time with us. Thank you all, dear colleagues. I hope you enjoyed this discussion. It was a fruitful discussion, and I think that these two topics are really crucial, especially these days. So I'm really happy that we had this opportunity to discuss it with Madam Vice President. And hopefully we see each other on any other occasion like these online meetings. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye. Thank you. Thank you, Jardo. Děkuji.
Bye.
Děkuji.
Děkuji. Děkuji.
Děkuji.